Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trick Podcast with Joy and Goso TV, here with my Goso bell, my Goso hat, my Goso mugs. Thank you so much for being here on this beautiful Monday, April 8, 2019, talking today about what have you done for me lately? Have you ever heard that song or that phrase? I'm an 80s kid, so we all remember Janet Jackson. What have you done for me? But no, I'm not going back in time. I actually have been thinking a lot about marketing and how to get the word out and how to connect with people, whether it's in a creative venture, whether it's in your own personal business, maybe in a traditional environment, or in the church, of course, which is my passion. And it really comes down to showing people, what have you done for me lately? What I mean by that is showing people, why should I be here? Why should I come to your event? Why should I give money? Why should I waste my time to be here with you unless I know what you're going to do for me today? I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and this whole thing came to my mind because when I go to brand new places, I love thinking about what I'm feeling and what I'm noticing. So because when I have people come into my church or even just meet me for the first time, I'm always wondering, what are they thinking of me based on whatever it is, right? And so I always like to think about, what do I look for when I'm in a new place? Because that's probably what people are looking for when they come into my place. And so I remember thinking, first of all, just when I got out of the car and was trying to find this place, I thought, man, where do I park? Second, I had to park kind of far, and I thought, man, I sure hope someone it was at a university. I was looking for this one room in a huge campus. I thought, I sure hope there's maps or someone to tell me where to go, because I have no idea where room 325 is, right? No clue. So that's second, right? So all the aspect of directions and how to get there and parking is huge, obviously. Then we found someone who said, hey, this is where it used to be, but it's not here anymore. It's going to be in room 225. So I thought, okay, I'm glad that someone was here who expected us and who told me of the change of rooms. So that was good, right? And then finally got in. And of course, as we were walking around, I was with my friend. We were looking, at least me, I was looking at the facility. Is it clean? Is it nice? Is it safe? So obviously the facility and the lawn, and I mean, it's a university, so of course it's going to be perfect, right? But even that meant a lot to me. I thought, oh, wow, this is a really nice campus. I saw the football field. It looked beautiful with the green AstroTurf, whatever it's called now. All that stuff. So the aesthetics for me, again, that was huge. I don't know for my friend what she was thinking, but for me, the aesthetics, directions, having a personal kind of a human element, that was huge. I don't like welcome tables. I don't like people giving me gifts. I don't like anyone even greeting me. I just want someone to help me get to the event. That's just me. So we finally walked in, and immediately the first thing I'm looking at for me is the production value. How's the music? How's the sound? Not the music, there was no band, but just how's the sound? Does it sound good in here? It's like an auditorium, you know, at a university. And of course, I expected it to sound great, but sometimes you never know. And it sounded nice. I looked at the lights, I looked at the mood, at the colors. And then of course, second, I looked at the people in the room. So this was a kind of a thing on QuickBooks and administration and accounting, a very boring event. And I expected the crowd to be kind of boring, and it was, you know, I mean, including probably, I don't know, maybe us too. But I don't think I'm boring. But the people in the room were mostly, I would say, women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Not to say they're boring. My point is, accountant type, especially in nonprofits and churches, tend to be those people. And so my friend and I, we weren't quite in that age group. Well, I am, but she definitely isn't. And so anyway, so that's another thing that I noticed. Who is in the room? Do I fit in? And then third, of course, was the content. And as soon as the content started, look, and even I'm not really big into bulletins or programs. I don't really like reading anything. I just like to look and consume, right? Okay, what are you going to tell me? And when the guy first started to talk, actually, there was someone on stage. The only thing I cared about besides, well, let me say another thing. I also looked at who he was, his age, how he was dressed. He was kind of bald and a little chubby and was wearing a polo shirt, and it was a older white male. And so I thought, you know, you're not my type. I'm not any of those things. And so but most of the time, that's okay. You know, although I do like, obviously, I think all of us do, people that look like us, right? In terms of style and content and look and appearance and maybe even color. I mean, that matters, right? We're humans. But I think what mattered most to me, yeah, it was the content of what he was saying. And it wasn't, are you smart? It wasn't, are you eloquent? It was, what is this going to do for me? What have you done for me lately? In other words, why should I care about any of this? He was talking about his programs and these things and the apps and the blah, blah. All I could think about was, how is this going to help me? And you have to realize that your audience is extremely selfish. I mean, that's just how we all are. That's why the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, because your number one fan is yourself, right? And so when you are out there, well, let me finish the story. So hearing this guy, nothing he said connected with me. It was good for someone else. I'm sure it was awesome. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. The pictures and everything was great. But he never answered my question, which was, so what? Who cares? Why should I care about this? How is this going to change my life? Because I came in with certain questions, certain needs. I thought, well, how am I going to pay for my bills? How am I going to fix my church? How am I going to grow the attendance? You know, those are the things that matter to me as a leader, as a CEO, as a lead pastor, right? And this guy wasn't answering those questions, even though this was an administration type thing again. Well, he could have said, hey, this is how fixing your building will help you reach more people. Or this is how changing to this software will help you make more money. That's how it would have connected with me more directly. What's my lesson here? What's the point? Whatever you say, whatever your pitch, whatever you talk about up front or in a group or in a business or if you're online, you have to answer the question, why should I care? In seminary, we used to call it, so what? Like, so what? Great, great, but who cares? The other question I think it's very important is, yes, but. Because whenever people are listening to something, they are objecting at every turn, at every moment. They're objecting to everything you say. Basically saying, yes, but you don't know my story. Yes, but you're not in my shoes. Yes, but that's good for you. Yeah, I mean, all the yes, buts. I mean, I did that with this guy. I'm like, yeah, but that's not for me. So if you are going to sell or give or help someone, whatever your adventure is, you have to answer those two questions. And primarily the so what? Why should I care? What have you done for me lately? So what are some ways that you can answer that question? Well, I'd say at least there's three. One is by telling stories of other people. Telling the stories of how, let's say in my case, God helped Frank become more amazing. Or how God helped Mary to be a better mom. Or how God helped Joe to get out of debt. Those stories are amazing. Number two, and those are verbal. Number two is video and content and pictures. You have to show pictures everywhere in your, I don't know, in your house, if you're doing something online or at your church or your nonprofit, of what your results look like. The colors of the people, the ages, what kind of the rags to riches story. And then third, you have to then have other people communicate your message. It can't just be you. They expect you to be the salesman. You have to train your people to talk about what God is doing in their lives so that they can also tell the stories of Mary becoming a millionaire or of Joe being healed. You have to, if you're not a good storyteller, you have to get people up front to tell stories for you so that people that are new or even those that have been there for a long time and are thinking of leaving, have you ever thought of leaving your internet provider? Of course you think about it all the time. If it's too expensive or too slow or bad customer service. So you want to make sure that the people that you do have in the room don't leave and switch carriers, quote unquote. And the way you do that is by constantly telling them, what have you done for me lately? And it's very personal. It can't be for your mom, your sister, your friend. It has to be for you. When I'm in that room, when I was in this room with this training at this college, I wasn't thinking of Mary, Joe, and Frank. I was thinking about me. I was thinking of my favorite person and your favorite person, me. So you have to, at some point, connect whatever you're doing, whatever you're talking about, to that person. Now, that can be impossible if you have 100 or 10,000 people in the room. That's why you think about the common needs that most people tend to have. In my case, there are things about success, about belief, about healing. I always talk about success. I always talk about belief. I always talk about healing. That's my audience. You have to have two or three words that quickly describe what your audience needs. So if you're selling makeup, okay, are they all poor? So you have to think about, okay, what's the cheapest way to buy makeup? Are they all rich? So you have to think about what's the best value for the best product, or maybe it's more about you're going to be seen by famous people or at a fancy restaurant. If you're doing maybe something dealing with nutrition or fitness, and if your audience are mostly 40 and 50 year old men, you have to think about busy and how to look good and how to still be attractive even though you're aging. You know, so you have to know the specific needs of your audience. You can't please everyone. You have to go for one or two people that represent the greater good, and then speak their language, answer their questions. What have you done for me lately? So think that through in your area as a creative, as a musician, as an entrepreneur, as a church leader. What are the specific needs of your people? How can you then, using some of these techniques, show them what you are doing for them lately, today, tomorrow, next month, not in 5 years, not in 3 months, but what are you gonna do about my needs today so that I can stay, support your thing, and be a long life customer, or in our case, a follower, so that they can have their lives be changed. So I hope that helps. Thanks so much. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.